Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
To Iraq, where the UN is sending aid to Iraqi citizens displaced by the fighting around the city of Tikrit. We reported earlier this week that Iraqi troops, with the help of Shia militias backed by Iran, launched an offensive to retake the city from ISIS fighters who seized it last summer. Taking Tikrit would open the path to Mosul, also held by ISIS. Right now, the fight is in the villages around Tikrit. ISIS has littered roads with improvised explosive devices. They're using suicide bombers to blunt the offensive. Iraqi military officials say it could take a month to reclaim that city. Mitchell Prothero is Iraq bureau chief for McClatchy. He's with us by Skype from Erbil in the north. And Mitch, talk about the sectarian nature of this. The U.S., of course, also fighting the largely Sunni fundamentalist ISIS militants. But Iran is backing the Shia militia. Are the Sunnis there who reject ISIS feeling they now have no choice, that they're being lined up against Shia militia?
Absolutely. To be a Sunni in Iraq who doesn't support ISIS right now is a very dangerous place to be, because essentially you're stuck between two groups of people. One, you know, from your own community that would want to basically kill you for not supporting them. And then you're absolutely terrified of not just the central government. The Iraqi security forces have a notorious history of human rights abuses, even post-American occupation, where they targeted the Sunni community. And then you throw in Iranian-trained, led, and equipped militias who are very open about the fact that they have revenge on their mind for multiple things here. Remember, Saddam started a nearly decade-long bloody war with Iran. This is his hometown. It's symbolic that an Iranian general or multiple Iranian generals are helping lead irregular troops of Shia militiamen into that town. The optics of that alone are just terrible throughout the region. And if you remember in June, Tikrit was the scene of a huge, just brutal massacre of at least 1,000, maybe as much as 1,700 unarmed Shia, mostly Shia recruits to the Air Force and volunteer forces that were captured and then methodically executed.
Executed by ISIS, by Sunni fundamentalist ISIS.
Yeah, ISIS executed at least 1,000 people, probably closer to 1,500 in June. And the militias that are trying to go into Tikrit right now are the brothers, nephews, cousins, uncles of these guys that were massacred. And they've been very open about the fact that this is a revenge operation.
Well, what about the questions as to whether or not the Iraqi forces, put aside the Iranian-backed Shia militia, can do the job of fighting ISIS? Yesterday, the defense minister seemed to be reacting to the debate here in the U.S. about whether the troops are ready for the even bigger challenge of taking back Mosul. He said, "We're doing this alone," but then said, "It'd be nice if we had some help down the road fighting ISIS." What is the thought there about what role the U.S. should play?
Well, that's what's very confusing for everybody. And, you know, from President Obama's perspective, if he seems a little hesitant on how to handle this, it might not make sense, you know, viewing it from the U.S. But viewing it from Iraq, it does make a certain bit of sense, because honestly, nobody knows how this is going to shake out. What we're seeing right now is an incredibly weak central government that has had 7 months to reconstitute its military that fell apart in a week. And essentially, it hasn't reconstituted that military. But what we are seeing is that the Shia militias, who are very well equipped and very well paid and very competently led by Iran, are taking the place of the army. You're starting to see sort of dual security forces, one that reports to an Iranian general and one that directly reports to the defense ministry. Going down the road, that's not a great sign for the long-term stability of Iraq.
Well, it also sets up the image of the U.S. providing air cover for Iranian fighters as they go into Mosul to take ISIS. Can the U.S. afford to let them lose?
No. That's what everybody needs to get a lot more realistic about, that whole notion. At this stage, Iran is on the ground fighting the Islamic State. Regardless of what the Prime Minister of Israel would like U.S. Congress to believe, at least in the short to medium term, when it comes to threats against Europe and the United States, there's no comparison. The Islamic State is far more dangerous and far more likely to conduct, you know, savage terror attacks against civilian populations and are destabilizing the region. Iran is pro-stable when it comes to the region. They just want to make sure that they sort of control it. So, you know, at this stage, Iran is on the ground. They have guys getting killed. We have reports that they might have lost already, just in 3 days of fighting, 58 soldiers are planned to be buried tomorrow in Tehran in a state funeral. So when the Iraqis look, you know, at the American commitment, which is a couple thousand advisors and some airstrikes, versus the Iranian commitment, which is flooding in expertise, weapons, and guys fighting alongside you getting killed, there's virtually no comparison to who's got more stake in the game. And in some ways, from a real political view, that's the way it should be. This is Iran's neighbor. They have millions of co-religionists. Of course, Iran is going to have a huge stake in what happens in Iraq, and they're going to demand to have a lot of influence over what happens here. Just like, imagine if Mexico was battling the Islamic State. I think America would probably expect to have a lot of say in what went on as well. It's just common sense, you know?
And it's fascinating. Mitch Protheroe, Iraq Bureau Chief for McClatchy, from Erbil in northern Iraq, as troops from Iraq and Iran try to battle ISIS into Crete. Boy, Mitch, thank you so much.
No problem. It's my pleasure.